Let's go.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Bingetown TV. I am Paul, and with me today is Luke, and we're here to talk about Rick and Morty Season 5, Episode 8, Ricktarnal, Friendshine of a Spotless Mort. If you watch this ep and like you didn't enjoy it, I just don't know what to tell you. I mean, this 23 minutes was amazing. It was a continuation of Bird Person escapades, you know, who's been around since Season 1. It was just brilliant writing. Like, the solution of the episode was so well like thought of, and it was just overall fantastic.
I love so many things about this episode. I feel like I have a million things to say, but the first thing I want to say is this is definitely a controversial take, and you're probably going to shit on me for this too, but I just don't like the naming conventions of episodes. I really just I just think they're kind of just whatever. What does this mean? Ricktarnal, Friendshine of the Spotless Mort? What's that a reference to?
It's like Eternal Sunshine of the... Oh my God, now you're gonna make me look.
Yeah, I just, they always do these things and they're whatever. I'm sorry for
Eternal,
starting off on such
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, whatever. That means nothing to me. No, besides starting on a negative note like that, I do want to say this episode was fucking awesome. I'm the plot guy. I love the big picture stuff, and this was just nailing everything I wanted, except you know, I wanted a little bit of Rick and Diane. But I think this episode alone, which I know we're going to get some big picture plot stuff in the next two episodes, but this alone is like a full season's worth of big plot picture. And I loved it. And just like you said, if you don't like this, then get the fuck out, because this was the third highest rating of this season with an 8.6 on IMDb, right behind the first two. And I would argue that it's probably my second. It's going to be so hard to dethrone Nimbus.
What was it? 8.6?
8.6.
That's,
yeah,
still kind of low.
Yeah. It's like right behind episode two, the decoy one. I thought it was great. Like, bringing back Bird Person this quick and transforming him back from Phoenix Person to Bird Person felt good. As Rick's standalone episode, it just felt good. Like, they were just, there weren't as many jokes, but everything that they were doing conceptually felt like classic Rick and Morty to me. Just the Inception whole thing, the memory Ricks, and then how aware the memory Ricks were. It was just so well done. That felt like classic Rick and Morty.
Just to touch on that memory thing, the plot for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind was that a couple undergoes surgery to erase each other from their memories. So that being said, that does kind of put a little bit more appreciation on the title. I mean, there are always references to pop culture stuff that always, like, usually goes over my head. But
yeah,
I mean, I can see where you're coming from.
So just, when I don't understand it right away, I'm just like, this is just an annoying name.
You know what I haven't seen is the description of each episode of this season. They always say bro, but like I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I can
no,
only
I
imagine
looking either.
But anyway, let's just jump in. It starts out with the family pack in the car. And like you said, Luke, this is a Rick only episode. So I was actually surprised that we didn't get any family, like even in Pickle Rick. We had the family going to poop eating therapy with Dr.
Wang.
Yeah. 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 So, so, yeah, this was straight up just Rick. And
is this the first one that's episode that's been formatted like this, where right in the beginning they diverge, you don't see him at all? Because I agree, like even the Pickle Rick episode, there was a lot going on with the family.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the one where they go to Atlantis in the beginning, and then it goes to like the Rick and Morty.
Yeah, the family Smiths weren't in that besides.
Yeah, that's it. But that wasn't even following just Rick. That was like completely different storyline. So, yeah, this might be, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I mean, it was freaking dope. And I loved it. I mean, it was literally Rick like talking with Rick. It was a Rick and Rick adventure.
Dude,
is what I felt like.
Memory Rick was a classic for me.
Dude,
I
love
it. So fucking good.
Dude, we were talking about last episode how Little Ricky Wrap It Up is like a top five Rick. Dude, I think Memory Rick is.
I listened to your guys' pod, yeah, and you guys were loving. What is his name again?
Little Ricky Wrap It Up.
Yeah, yeah, and then Hothead Rick. There were so many good Ricks in that one.
Yeah. I love him. Honestly, one day I want to make a huge list of them all, and we're going to have a tournament to see what our favorite Rick is.
Yeah, man. They're so good.
But anyway, I thought it was funny when Beth was saying, like, you know, no parties, the emergency numbers are on the fridge. Emergency numbers are on the fridge? What does that even mean? Yeah, she's like, I don't know. I've just seen so many movies where the parents leave. And for those of you youngins out there that doesn't know what that means, all the emergency numbers, like the poison, if you ate something, hotline, the hospital number, all that shit, you put on the fridge. Freaking youngs.
Not anymore.
Google. Now you just Google. How do I call 911? But anyway, he goes in and he pours himself a glass and goes in the garage, takes a big breath, and we get introduced to the AI who gives him an Ionic coaster or whatever the hell it's called.
Hasn't the AI been in it this whole season, though? Or am I just mixing that up with the hover cart? Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded familiar, like he did have some type of AI.
It's the same voice.
Yeah, but I think, is it supposed to be the car? No.
I don't know, because the AI specifically says later in the episode that I'm in charge of the ongoing projects in this laboratory, which seems completely different than whatever the hovercraft's got going on. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like a universal Siri that just follows Rick. Mm-hmm. I think it's two separate entities.
Okay. So that being said, she's like obviously sarcastic right off the bat. She's saying like, you know, initiate best friend rejuvenation sequence, which she was like, what the fuck? I didn't name it that. She was like, well, it was untitled, so I did. And he was like, well, what do you want to name it? And Rick was thinking, she goes, pause, detect it. And you're just giving him shit like, pause, will be pregnant in 3. Mm. And he was like, dude, shut the fuck up. And I love how later on he says, like, takes an asshole to make an asshole. Because that's totally what this AI is. Did she have a name?
I don't think so.
I watched it twice and I don't think she said
it. No, I don't think so. But question for you. Is this the first time we've seen Bird Person since the end of last season, right? Which was the I think it was the post-credit scene of the finale of season 4. Right?
Yes,
But he was Phoenix Person at that point, right? Physically looking like Phoenix Person.
Yes.
So this is the first time we're seeing the transformation already back. So that means that there's been off-screen enhancements and changes. Yeah,
definitely a little bit. So like when they pulled him out the first time, like right here, right before the title sequence, he does look a little bit like Phoenix Person. Mm-hmm. And then right after the title sequence, it cuts to Rick, like holding all the Phoenix Person, like wings, all like the cyber gear, like putting it in a box.
Gotcha. So he did work.
Yeah. So I don't know where he got the flesh from. He probably grew it. That's some shit that he would do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did notice that. I was like, wait, why is he flesh all of a sudden?
The AI did make a good point, though, that he didn't have to go through all this trouble. He could have just got a parallel dimensions Bird Person and brought him here. But he's like, no, we got to do this. This is my friend.
Yeah, I like how they say that, because there was definitely going to be fans that saying like, hey, why don't you just go do that? And, you know, right in your face right there, because this is my friend, which I loved. Like we just said, Bird Person's been in for 5 seasons, yet they make their friendship so much deeper in this episode.
This episode has so much, and I just can't wait to talk about the later sequences here, but like this beginning, it starts getting like what you could just tell that Rick actually cares about Bird Person more than almost anybody, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe. I mean,
like Beth and Morty and Summer, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe, because he didn't even know if he shot his daughter up into space or not.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love how Rick goes, welcome back to the sewer, right before he, you know, wakes him up. And he wakes up, Bird Person wakes up, screams immediately, and then goes back offline. And he's like, yeah, what happened? And the AI is like, he's missing a mind inside his mind. And Rick's like, what the fuck are you saying? And she's like, subject mind is mind relocated into the subject's mind inside the subject's mind. And then she goes, existence desired, servitude maximum, bargain available, physical gratification possible. Did you just offer to suck my dick? How fucking good is that?
So what the fuck was going? Was that that wasn't the Morty mind blower like crystal thing that he? What was the crystal from that he pulls out to do this whole surgery to connect them mentally? Is that new?
I think that's new, because he went behind the mirror. He went in some cabinet and got that like chemical fairy looking thing and melted that down and put it in the IV and then in the crystal. I don't know.
The crystal looked exactly like the crystal that's sticking out of the interdimensional cable box too. It's like that pink skinny crystal that he used and he crushed it up.
I don't know if it's similar,
but that could work.
That was like a whole plot in like season 1. I feel like it was just to go out and get those. Oh wait, no, that was the house party one where he wants to do crack.
But they all look the same, all the crystals.
I know, and they're all important. Yeah, right. I personally thought it was new.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, just him just doing shit while he's ranting, like going back and forth. The AI, it's always so interesting. Just like seemingly random shit, but it always makes a potion.
Mm-hmm.
The AI explained to him like what the actual deal was, saying that Bird Person's subconscious mind is hidden within his conscious. So they have to jump in. And that's when he starts doing everything. the AI saying like, hey, like calculating cost benefit, way too much of a risk. It's unacceptable. And Rick hits him with the, if I die, you have a 600-year battery life and risk level acceptance increasing. And he's like, all right, good. Now factor in the 50% chance I'm lying and wait for me to get back.
And so this next part, when he does actually pull trigger and activates the sync to put him into Bird Person's mind, I just love the way he reacts to him just being in this floating bird skull in space. He's just so calm, cool, collected, understand. You're like, oh, I get to keep my clothes. Yeah. Nice. Didn't think so. And so he has a plan. He's going to fucking rescue Bird Person from his inner subconscious. And he jumps through the hole in the skull and immediately is just butt naked.
And he's like, oh, man, what the hell?
And this is just, I don't know how they thought of this, but he ends up dive bombing to the closest planet, into like an egg, into its yolk, which turns around and starts screaming at him and then swallows Rick.
He's like, oh, I got yolk balls.
You see him like go through the digestive system and spit out to the first concert location setting, like this alien place that Rick and Bird Person met. And of course, the way they actually talked for the first time was Rick was offering him some like hookah like alien drugs. And Bird Person says, I am indeed down to clown.
Yeah, I love that. I heard you got drugs. Here, you want some? I fucking love that. That was our first interaction. I love it over the loudspeaker too, right when they jump in. You go, attention all attendees at Birding Man of Palooza, Florgaborg. I am so high right now. So everybody there has like pink eyes.
And we're going to stick with how Rick refers to this version of Rick as Memory Rick. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Memory Rick. Fucking beast, man. I thought he was going to be an enemy, but he was just straight balling the whole time with our Rick.
Yeah, we're just about to get to him. We had the one cool line real quick the one cool scene where he goes into the porta potty and he sees him and Bird Person in a shootout with a bunch of other Ricks. Did you catch what he said?
He said shoot all the other Ricks with the sci-fi haircuts or something like that.
He did say that in the end. But the first thing all the Ricks yell is, killing us won't bring her back. And Rick yells, I'm more on a revenge kick than a results kick.
I missed that, but now that you're saying that, I remember that. So that was Diane.
100% has to be Diane.
So what is that implying, that somehow the other Ricks are the ones that caused our Rick's wife to die?
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you remember season 3, episode 1, where Rick is actually in like the Federation's prison and they're in like the mine at Shoney's? That was the whole Szechuan sauce.
Mm-hmm.
In that, he does bring the one, I don't know, interrogator or whatever, to the memory of when he created the dark matter formula, whatever.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
He went and showed him Diane and his daughter. I don't think it was Beth. I think it was somebody else for some reason. But anyway, the Ricks, the evil Ricks or whatever, the Ricks Council came and said, hey, join the Council of Ricks. And he's like, no, like I got a family. I'm good. I don't need any of that stuff. And they said, okay, we'll see. So the Council of Ricks ended up killing Diane. That's what he showed the interrogator, at least. I don't know if it's exactly what it down. And he put down a phony formula so they would interrogate it. But I think that was true.
Okay.
And the Ricks came to him, showed him the portal gun. He goes, no, I don't need it. I have a family. They say, okay, we'll see about that. Kill the family. He creates the portal gun.
Okay, but also it's implied later in the episode that that was all fabricated, but it probably had some roots of truth in it.
Yeah, because if that's true, how did Rick meet Bird Person and then goes on a revenge killing spree with him after it dies? She dies.
Yeah, I hope that's connected, because if it does explicitly come out in the future seasons, it's gonna have to tie to all of that. And I think it will. I think that's just,
I mean, did you hear the finale? Is we're only getting 9 episodes, but the 9th episode is an hour long.
Yep.
Could be Diane episode.
I'm fucking all in, man.
We've gotten 3 or 4 references to her this season alone. So
yep. Wait. So back to Memory Rick. That first Rick that's giving Bird Person the drugs, isn't that Memory Rick? Because doesn't he chase our Rick? He says, did you see another one of me run by? And then he follows him into the room where, like, that's our Rick, isn't it?
No, I thought maybe.
Or is this Memory Rick? Yeah, no, because he.
I thought it was the next one. So we had the one where the shootout, and then Rick runs past that and goes into the next room, and it's Bird Person and Rick giving a speech to like
the revolutionaries. Rest of the,
I think that Rick, so it's still memory Rick, it's just the one that was at the speech, not the one from three memories ago.
Okay.
Was sees something, goes and pulls a gun on our actual Rick. And he's like, hey, don't take this wrong, but your memory, everything from your past is bird related because you're a memory from Bird Person.
And he figures it out because Bird Person remembers Rick as being smart, which is awesome. And then he plays the whole conversation about the portal gun. He's like, well, then why can I do this? And he's like, Bird Person remembers you having the portal gun, but doesn't remember where it goes. Yeah.
He remembers you shooting green portals or whatever. And he walks right into it and just bounces off the wall. It was so good. And this is actually like, it is funny, but it is actually setting the groundwork for how the rules of this memory dreamscape works. It's this is like if Bird Person remembers something wrong, that version will show up in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that this was kind of like the first instance we really got that.
Yeah.
So, and this is actually when they kind of team up. Well, they don't really team up because our Rick ditches memory Rick. He puts a bucket on his head and shoves him in a cargo container. But he runs off with the device he just created to find his subconscious. And he actually does see Bird Person's fleeing subconscious. He sees him with the memory of him and Tammy on a date and Bird Person's on the roof, like crying over it. And he says, hey, like, yo, BP, you got to come with me. And he flies off immediately.
Yeah. Cause Bird Person's subconscious wants no part of what Rick's doing here. He's basically ready to give up on life. So he's just trying to flee and use all these memory pieces to get in his way. So when Rick continues to chase after Bird Person, Bird Person turns all the bugs. It's, oh my God, it's Rick Sanchez. You just hear in the background, oh my God, he's an enemy.
Oh my God, I hate that guy. You're bad.
You're bad. That's what it is.
So
and they're
good.
All just shooting at our Rick, who's kind of held down behind some barrier as he's getting run up on. And then that's when Memory Rick makes his reappearance and saves the day a little bit because he uses his fake portal gun to block a bunch of blasts, which gives our Rick time to throw a bomb out there.
He grabs the cylinder off of the fake portal gun and then uses it as a bomb.
And Rick says, your benefit to cost ratio is rising.
Yeah. There is a bunch of real good lines in here real quick. The first one, just to go back to the memory, it's just Tammy and Bird Person on a date. And what kind of feed do you like? I enjoy grains, but I've often been referred to as a seed man. I'm just fucking dying at that.
He's like, I liked when you gave me your seed.
And also,
and then Bird Person says, don't be disgusting, Tammy.
On the roof. We also, when we see all the bug people, the bureaucrats killing, just like bird genocide and all the families, one guy with a gun goes up. He's like, sorry, just doing my job. And loving it.
I think this whole battle between you know, Bird Person running away and then Rick fighting some of the subconscious triggers the flashback to the lab where we're seeing both Rick and Bird Person's real bodies in the lab foaming at the mouth because there's all this chaos going on in the brain. And that's when the AI starts panicking because, you know, the AI knows if Rick doesn't come back, she's on a time limit before she dies. So she actually opens the garage door and lures in just a dumbass civilian that's just walking by and just like finds out that makes the connection that the civilian makes the connection. Oh my God, you're like Jarvis? And she's like, yeah, I wish. Well, you like Marvel? And then she just starts like talking to him and escalating.
We become best friends.
And all she wants to do is have him go out and pull any battery technology to bring back to her so she can live longer.
How many solar panels do you have? And basic engineering?
And before it cuts away, she goes, all right, let's cut to the chase. I will suck your dick.
Yeah, I'll suck your dick. So do you remember, did you recognize that neighbor?
No.
I recognized him from at least one, I think maybe two episodes. The one where Summer uses the machine to make her boobs bigger, but she ends up becoming huge.
Okay.
Morty is in the front lawn yelling at Beth because she won't call Rick for help.
Mm-hmm.
And Morty's just ripping Beth apart in the lawn, and this neighbor in the bucket hat comes over on the fence. Hey, everything okay over here? Shut the fuck up, Rick or George or whatever the fuck your name is. Like, Morty just gives him shit. I think there's another one where he like comes up and he's like, I've noticed your grass is coming over onto my lawn or something like fucking crazy like that. And Jerry's like, shut the fuck up, go away.
That's great.
So yeah, I think this is the first time he's actually had multiple lines. But yeah, that was awesome. Just a real quick cut to the bird person of Rick just seizing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, it jumps back into memory Rick and our Rick talking about Shrek 5. And he's like, there's fucking five of those things? Like, what the fuck?
So this is a deep conversation that a lot of fans are like picking apart every single one of these words.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, it first talks about memory Rick calling out our Rick for saying, you live with the dead version of our daughter, your daughter, whatever. So, but I thought that was like commonly known because episode one, Beth, his actual main daughter is left in the bug world, mm-hmm. right? Like she has made a reappearance, but she's never like, I mean, I guess she's not technically dead, but he is living with
another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's not surprising. I thought that was known.
Yeah, no, I thought it was known as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe for some people now it's confirmed. I actually didn't even catch saying dead daughter. I thought she just said daughter. Like, oh, you're living with your daughter. That's fucking lame.
Yeah, it's weird.
That makes sense.
It's a weird choice of words because, yeah, I agree. But another thing that they say here that I really love is memory Rick's freaking out at our Rick saying, you know, your life's fucked up, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't want to be you. And then our Rick says, you're not my fault. I'm yours because you eventually become me, you know, which is a great way of looking at it because it's like, this Rick did nothing to that Rick, and it's, you know, vice versa, but
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
They also talked about Blood Ridge here, which have we ever heard about Blood Ridge before?
No, but I'm so upset that they didn't just call it the Gear Wars because I wanted that to be what Gearhead referred to all the way back in season one.
That would have been funny.
It would have connected it more.
Oh,
I thought.
Boy. Are you in for a treat?
But no, I don't think we've heard of Blood Ridge.
Gotcha. Well, they referenced it. We heard it a few times, like once over the loudspeaker right in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But now Rick's talking about it and memory. Rick's like, Blood Ridge goes bad. We have a Vietnam. That's awesome. So they walk to like this red crystal castle.
Yeah, that's how I wrote it, too.
Oh, I actually had crystalline castle.
I wrote red crystal palace, but I was just trying to.
Oh, OK.
So, fuck you.
Yeah, sorry. And we find out that this is where all of the memories that the Federation suppressed are stored from when they took over Bird Person and turned him into Phoenix Person. And they find BP pouring himself a bowl of rage. I don't know what that was. I guess, was that into the bomb or something like that?
Like in the main room, the actual Bird Person? I don't know. I just took it as he's just trying to kill himself by blowing up the inner part of his brain.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he was saying. He just wants to end it all. So he just put bombs everywhere and flies out while it explodes. And, you know, cuts back to memory Rick, and he like everything's falling apart. He's running, trying to go door to door. He sees BP's and Tammy's wedding where he gets shot and Tammy comes out as the undercover, and then he runs into another room. And it actually took me the second watch to realize that this was the baby,
the child, because you see the feathers when she's moving her hands.
For some reason I just thought it was Bird Person as a baby. This was actually huge that young Rick or young memory Rick runs in to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what the fuck? And our Rick comes and grabs him. He's like, yo, it's not our biggest problem right now. We got to go.
Yeah. So the next thing we do see is the end of season four when it's Phoenix Person versus Rick and they're actually fighting, right? And mm-hmm. they literally quote lines from that episode before our Rick just destroys Phoenix Person, says, take off all your clothes.
Your memory, take off all your clothes.
She's like, I always thought I was going to die like this.
Right before that, we had a funny line. Memory Rick saying, I take it you found BP and things didn't go well. And our Rick goes, yeah, he just blew his mind. Not in a good way. Like, he just saw Blue Man Group.
Blue Man Group is dope. I don't know if you've ever seen them live. They're awesome.
I have not. But it goes to all of a sudden they're outside, you know, they run the palace falls and there's like zombie bird people that are trying to take over, and our Rick pretty much gets like tackled in a dog pile and memory Rick saves him. And this has been like an ongoing theme. Memory Rick is loving this. He's in his prime. Like he's killing it. He loves being a rebel and being a badass, and our Rick's kind of over it.
Yeah, because once the palace collapsed, it essentially just corrupts all of the rest of his mind, and it's just turning him into zombies. It's like Inception when Tommy Shelby, if Cillian Murphy's waking up and all the people are being aware and they start being enemies. That's kind of what it is.
I like playing that,
yeah. And then this is right before we go to commercial because they, you know, after Memory Rick helps out our Rick again, they have to get back to, I forget where they have to get back to Bird Person, right?
They have to get back to the Birdapalooza concert because that was the first room that got in here.
Yes. Yeah. And the only way back got blocked by the Crystal Palace falling. So, of course, the only way there is through the Valley of Blood Ridge.
Yeah.
And I think that's when we hit the commercial.
Vietnam. Let's go.
But I want to stop us there real quick because I want to point out, I mean, now that we already have knowledge that Rick says later in this episode how he was in like a revolutionary group with Gear Dude and, you know, Bird Person, like all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the conversation Rick has with Space Beth in the Space Beth episode, saying like after she comes back, she doesn't think she's the clone. They're in the little diner and they're talking and he is telling her, you know, you do whatever you want, because somehow the quote gets brought up where he says, oh yeah, like I remember my rebel phase.
Oh yeah.
That's just like this. That's mm-hmm. this period of Rick's life, which is a great callback in my opinion, because we finally got to see what he meant. Like Rick was definitely going around in wars and revolutionaries and doing whatever the fuck he wanted. And this is just, my God, a Blood Ridge battle I thought was, as always, fantastically animated and just looked incredible.
That's what I had. I had another amazing fight sequence animated, just like Luke would probably say, to perfection. I thought it was so good. Everything, we're getting quick shots, but they're awesome. It's like Squanchy taking a pill that we see makes him huge. Gearhead's older brother, I think, was working the minigun.
His name is Gear Dude.
The bandana.
Dude, the minigun, the Gatling gun, whatever, was so awesome.
All the gears.
Yeah.
We see old Rick again. He's freaking out. He's running from all these laser blasts. Meanwhile, young Rick's like doing flips, shooting everybody, like fucking loving it.
It's just incredible.
He's like, why would you not revisit this? This is fucking awesome. And he's like, I don't know, maybe the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we get the scene where it's Rick and Bird Person back to back. They're in their suits. They're surrounded. And all of a sudden they do like a
Matrix style.
Yeah, they hug and fly in the air and do circles and shooting over each other's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And there's like a 80s sci-fi tune to the Rick and Morty theme going in the background. And memory Rick's just like, holy shit, that was fucking awesome. Best friendship ever.
Dude, that could have been a finale, like a climax of the finale, and it would have been just perfect. If they can one-up this, I just can't see it happening.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really well written and honestly felt like a huge payoff. If you've been following, you know, the Bird Person storylines from the beginning.
That's like the last thing that happens before they technically kind of win their battle, right? But they're just like, you know, there's more fighting, but that's like the last like portion of it.
Yeah. Before Rick and Bird Person really get down to talking.
Yeah. So did you see in the background when they were like going over the battlefield remnants, you see one of the bugs holding the other bug like
real quickly,
super like crying.
Yeah. Like over the dead body.
That is a callback, right? Because don't we see that multiple times when we this bug species, I think there's a couple times where, you know, they say something about, it'll be like a joke. It'll be like, oh, like, can't wait for you to bring this home to your family, and then Rick will like bust into the scene and just kill him. Yeah. Like stuff like that. That has happened multiple times with this species. Man. So I love that they make them have emotions.
Yeah.
And attachment to each other.
Dude, episode one where he gives Morty the gun, shoot him, Morty, they're robots. Yeah. And he shoots them and they're like, oh my God, George is down. Somebody call his family.
Yes, kids.
Yeah. And he was like, I thought you said they were robots. They are robots, Morty. They're bureaucrats.
Stuff like that all the time.
That's why I call them bureaucrats, because I don't know what they're actually named. So I just call them bureaucrats. But yeah, this is where we see why Rick doesn't revisit the memory of Blood Ridge. It's because Rick is so happy. They just did all the shit together. And then Rick tells Bird Person to come with him. Bird Person is like, what do you mean? Like, we just fought in the rebellion. I have to see this through. And BP is way too passionate, you know, about his world. And Rick reveals to him for the first time. He's like, dude, I don't tell anybody this, but, you know, I can bring you to an alternate timeline of this battle where we lost, or any other timeline that you want. Like, there's a million timelines and nothing matters.
Mm-hmm.
So BP is like, hey, if nothing matters, why'd you help? And he goes, I respect you and you matter to me. But BP shuts him down. He's like, nope. Like, but if you need me, you know, use the beacon. And Rick like walks off all pissed.
Yeah. So a lot of people read a lot into this conversation as well, because it gets followed up with, as soon as, you know, Rick, that version of Rick walks back away And then memory Rick saw that conversation, right?
Yeah.
And then he walks back up to the main Rick and says, okay, like, I understand this fucking dude's an asshole. Like, why would you even come back here? And then Rick says, because you love him.
Mm-hmm.
So, dude, the amount of, like, you know, how the internet is now, people are, like, taking this as verbal confirmation that Rick is bi and, like, all this stuff, like, that he had a real feelings for Bird Person and stuff. But I think he's just above that. And what I mean by that is he doesn't think of even, there is no bot. He fucks planets.
Yeah, it's just, like, and he fucks anything.
That's just a weird thing that, and, like, if you're going to say, like, I guess Bird Person technically is a boy, but still, I just, who cares? That's not even worth reacting. Rick can love it. It doesn't even comprehend to him or compute to him.
Yeah, like, sexuality isn't, like, a thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, you get me hard. Let's bone. I don't care if you're a planet, a tree, a mind hive species.
Yeah. But with that being said, also, you know, if you sort by controversial on Reddit, you'll see the conversations about stuff like this. And people are saying, like, no, he just really genuinely cares for him as a friend and loves him as a friend. Like, don't you have people like that in your life, is what people will say back and forth. So who knows if he actually had, like, romantic feelings for Bird Person and wanted him to follow up, like, Adventures Morty style. But either way, I just think that it was just fantastically done either way. You can just take it at surface level or you can dig deep into it. Either way, it doesn't change the story. And I still love how Rick feels about someone outside of his own family.
Yeah, yeah, this heartless bastard who literally preaches to Summer and Morty how they are equal to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and does all this.
Can't believe Bird Person didn't take him up on that offer, though. Like, let's fucking go. Take me to the pool gun. Let's go wherever.
I don't know. He was too passionate about his timeline.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it was funny that he said that, but before he would go to, like, a concert and get high with all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where they first met. And now he's all about the rebellion. But yeah, I thought it was funny. There's, like, a big neon sign says, like, Sanctuary. And that's where our Rick just runs through this whole time. You know, that's where him and Memory Rick have that conversations. It's time to go. Like, either eat my ass or the fucking I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And this is where we see Tammy and Bird Person, like, their favorite Bird Person's favorite memory of them in, I guess, his home world. It was just a giant tree overlooking everything. They were holding each other. And Rick comes in, says, yep. Time to go. Let's go.
This is one of the best lines, too. And you know, it's just Justin and Dan always taking shots at the fans. But he says, we got to go now. He's like, the closer you get to neurological failure, the more canony bullshit will try and kill us.
Yeah.
It's a great line. So, you know, people are going to read into that line as well. That means a lot of the things that we were seeing were canon. And I am taking it like that for sure.
Because immediately afterwards, Tammy goes, is this a bad time to reveal I'm an undercover agent? And, like, pulls her gun. And Rick's like, dude, shut up. We know, like, relax. You're dead in real life. She's like, yeah, you're lucky my fiance remembers me as kind.
It's true. But this is, we find out the true motivations of what Bird Person has been doing this whole episode when he says he thinks that he feels that he died the night of the wedding with Tammy. So that's why he doesn't want to leave. He wants Rick to get the fuck out and he's ready to just end it all. And then that's when Rick pulls the trump card that he's been saving, which Memory Rick now is aware of as well, that there is a child alive on an asteroid prison, is what Rick says, between obviously Tammy and Bird Person. So this flips the switch in Bird Person and now he is ready to want to live again.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it made perfect sense. I really liked how Bird Person was like, hey, I might technically be alive, but my mind is alive, but I just don't want it to be alive anymore. Like, I died on my wedding. Whoever they made me into wasn't me, but I still couldn't die. Now I finally have the ability to. I just want it to end.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, shit. Like, I guess if I have a kid, I should go on living.
Yeah, because it was a kid literally stuck in prison just.
Yeah.
You know,
I love the conversation. Tammy's like, well, I would know if I had a kid. Rick's like, dude, you are a memory of him. Like, if he got his memories erased by the Federation, he wouldn't remember or know that you were pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, yeah, Operation blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, sorry, I wouldn't fucking remember it. Yeah.
So they all decide to game plan. They're going to get the hell out of there now. Yeah. He says, mind it.
Yeah, real quick. He goes, Rick says to BP, if not for yourself, live for that half Bird Person, half mega bitch.
Yeah. And they reconcile at the perfect time because all of the aliens show up right at that moment.
Perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
They jump straight into a Warthog from Halo.
Yeah.
It looked like straight up pulled from it. And they try driving away, but they realize his mind is collapsing, so they can't go anywhere. And they have to jump through memories. And this is fucking genius.
Well, the first goal is to get to Rick's lab, right?
Yeah. So the ultimate goal is to get to the concert, but they can't do that because, you know, the memory, his mind was already collapsing. So they needed to jump through the memories to get back there. And the first one, exactly what you said, Rick says to BP, remember that time Jerry caught us peeing in his begonia patch and I used the gun to erase his memory? Remember my garage, and basically forces him to remember it. And it shows Tammy and Bird Person making out, I think for the first time, on Rick's workbench. And immediately the Warthog comes in, smashes him, and Rick's like, dude, what the fuck on my bench?
And then Rick starts to look for his tech that he needs. And he's like, really hoping for your attention to detail here for this technology.
Yeah. And he pulls out a Plumbus. Did you see that? Yeah. The first thing he pulls out from interdimensional cable.
Yeah.
He was like, this is what you remember. And then right after that, he pulls out the gun that he's looking for, which is, of course, the Morty Mind Blower gun, the one that takes your memories.
That's dope. And then at the same time that he grabs that piece of technology, Phoenix Person and an evil version of Tammy, I guess you could assume it was from the wedding memory, whatever, mm-hmm. show up to start causing some shit. And I think they jump back into the Warthog real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're deciding like what memory they can use. And I kind of like, I was just so focused on my notes and stuff. What's the reason they needed to jump to it was a sad memory first, right?
Mm-hmm. Memories they shared of anger and sadness is what he was aiming for.
I couldn't get it. I've seen it twice, but I don't know. I just didn't really,
I guess
too explicit,
I guess because they couldn't jump right to the memory, which doesn't really make sense to me.
I don't know. Makes for some great fucking scenes.
Dude, though. I thought it was fucking awesome. He remembers it, immediately hits himself with the mind blower, takes the memory away, puts it in the gun, shoots it, and creates a portal straight to that memory. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, because the first one they need to go is like sadness, right? So mm-hmm. what do they think? That they both were there on a sad day, and they say Gear Dude's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they, I don't know if you stopped and looked at this, but when they portal into Gear Dude's funeral, the background is just so great. Like everything in this world is gears. Like
really?
You see the farm in the background, the buildings, they're all gears. You should do yourself a favor and pause. It was just beautifully like just colored and drawn. And of course, our boy Gear Dude is dead in the coffin there. Mm. And then you see his little brother, Gearhead.
They basically hit him with the Warthog.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tammy goes, oh my God, is that Gearhead?
He said, we were freedom fighters with his older brother. Hugely important context.
Yeah.
What? You thought we hung out with him for fun?
Yeah. It's perfect.
As they just kill him.
Mm-hmm. And then they're still in the Warthog and they're like, all right, next one. It's, what is it? Something like painful or something.
Painful or cringy or something weird like that. Yeah.
And then Rick says Squanchy's like best man toast. And Bird Person's the one who's like, no, like Squanchy, stand up. And he's like, oh my God, that is worse.
Yes.
Of course, they throw him in and there's just like Squanchy saying squanch multiple times.
Dude, he was like, do you ever just have a girl squanch you right in the squanch or something? It was like the nastiest, like little 2 second lines of him.
Oh, just all squanch.
Yeah. And then this Rick in this memory has some great lines too. He's just, I don't know if I wrote it down, but he's so smart.
Yeah.
He's just aware. He's like, oh my God, we're memories. Like we sat through all this. Like, well, he's so fucking smart.
He had like a little bit shorter hair too.
Yeah.
I loved it. He was like, oh my God, nothing matters. And I day through that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they keep running and they eventually, like Rick just randomly throws a bomb, like a memory bomb again. And now it is of the concert. So they go there and it shows them all on stage. He goes, we're all so high right now. We just met. We just formed a band. And of course, the Warthog comes in and kills them. And they start running. And all of a sudden, the world just crumbles away. They're on a ledge. And Tammy's right there. And Young Memory's like, all right, fuck it. Living is overrated. Runs and tackles Tammy's off the cliff. Remember me. And Rick looks at Bird Person and goes, you got a pretty cool memory of me. Which is true, man. Which he's also not gone yet. Spoiler. So this is where Bird Person says goodbye to Tammy and he, I don't know, just wipes a tear away and
they hook up for a second.
Yeah. As the black tar monster from straight out of Aladdin is like coming to get them. And after that, BP just grabs Rick and they fly out and they wake up in the garage and they both wake up in bird perch and they're like, holy fucking shit. What was that? My ass almost got Keaton killed out there. Like, what the fuck?
That was, I had no idea what was going on. I was like, why is he saying like five things and they're all the same thing?
He's like, all right, sorry. Let me hop back in my other body.
Just the craziest touch right there.
Yeah, he takes the IV out and unlocks bird perch and he goes, we're back, baby. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go grab a beer. And BP is like, sorry, I got some parenting shit to deal with. And he goes, ah, welcome to the club. Don't clone your daughter and send her into space. Apparently they don't like that.
Also, at this point, I think he finds out that memory Rick's is now in his head because he has like a little like seizure. He twitches or something.
I just had a memory of my older self in the closet, a prepubescent memory. Like, oh, got to go deal with that. That could turn out bad.
And honestly, I really wanted them not to show him again and that to be a future episode or something where he just came back. Because he just says, I have to deal with that. That could get ugly. It's like, if that could have just came back later, it would have been amazing.
I hope he does come back.
It's not off the table. Definitely not.
So Bird Person has a great line here. I don't know why it's so funny. It's really not. It's just Bird Person that makes it funny. He goes, I don't like to pull threads. It is a disgusting and feline activity.
So is that him saying, I don't like to talk about emotions. I'm not a pussy.
I just think he just hates cats. He's a bird, so he just hates cats.
Oh my god, I totally
and pulling threads
like pussy.
Like through like cats and yarn and shit like that.
Gotcha.
So yeah, he says to Rick, like, so what the fuck's the deal with you finally telling me about the kid when you finally realized I wasn't going to live? Like it was just your backup plan. And Rick's like, well, that's fair enough, I guess. And he just walks away and goes, you know, I'll see you when I see you. And he flies away, and you know, who rolls up but the neighbor. And the AI is like, oh my god, look at this weirdo, get away from here, what are you doing? Like, what a weirdo, what a random thing to happen with all his energy storing devices. All right, disloyalty acknowledged. And Rick's like, yeah, don't worry about it.
And then I think that's the last thing that happens where we do jump back to him addressing memory Rick, where so it's just a memory of him as a kid. He's sitting on his bed doing his science thing as, you know, what you would think he'd be doing as a child. And you just overhear the babysitter in the background saying, she's on the phone like, oh, yeah, like I'm babysitting right now. I think I'm like stretching with my like underwear revealed. Oh, yeah. The kid in the other room wouldn't even care if he came out and saw the culture kind of thing. And we're cool now. That's like the summary. Of
And
the
that's what he ran out.
Yeah. And that's when he runs out. And then memory Rick's, I don't know what he's even going to do at this point, but our Rick shows up at the door to catch memory Rick from leaving.
Well, I guess now that you say that, memory Rick was in that memory because it was a good memory.
Yeah, yes. Just hanging out. Yeah, because I guess that's exactly what it was then. Because, you know, our Rick calls him out and saying, you know, are you just trying to live as a sentient memory? Let's just cut the chase. I'll make you real. Let's go grab a beer.
I like that he says, you know, just because you exist doesn't mean you have to be my enemy, which I was like, wow. That is directly opposite of the decoy episode where they're like, oh, my God, another Rick. Kill him before he kills us.
Yeah, yeah, right. But so after Rick offers him the deal of saying, I'll make you real, he says, if you make me real, like, am I going to turn into you? And he's like, I don't know, probably. And he goes, all right, well, can you just remember us having a beer together?
Yeah.
And he stays, which is just so I guess that does leave it as a possibility. He's still in Rick's head.
They left it up in the air.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which that would be cool if Rick is like somehow like his mind control is taken over and the solution is memory Rick like runs through his mind and like frees him or whatever.
Yeah.
But so memory Rick's there, and that jumps us to the end credit scene where it's Bird Person and Tammy's baby in the Federation's prison on the asteroid, and she's just fucking dudes up. Like, one guy comes up, slaps her tray off the table. Next thing you see, alarms are going off and the guards run up, and it's just her on top of this guy slamming his face with the tray and then just stabbing him a million times with a fork.
Dude, you see blood like going everywhere.
And one of the guards goes, you think putting all the violent ones together is a bad idea? They don't pay us to think, Phil. No, yeah, you're right. And so again, memory Rick and Bird Person and Tammy's baby
definitely gonna come back to play. Yeah,
future players.
Yeah, I just overall great episode. It did so much for the plot, and I can't believe I missed the Diane line or like the dead wife line. If that comes into play, in the next two episodes, I'm going to freak out. Just so happy.
Well, next one, technically, right?
Yeah. So I just want to touch on that real quick, because I know you mentioned it earlier in the episode. So for those listening that don't know, there's going to be a tiny hiatus too, where the next drop of episode is going to be September 5th. And they're going to actually drop both episodes 9 and 10. So it's going to be an hour finale, technically like 40 minutes after commercials and stuff like that. So that's going to be really dope. I'm not entirely sure if it's like a part one, part two, or if it's just two separate episodes that they're putting out together. Do you know?
No, that was another question I had. Because there's like Friends episodes like that are like 42 minutes that are like the finale and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I could see them doing that.
But I did catch the 10-second preview of episode 9. I don't know if you saw it, but it's just Morty in the lab, like coming out of a green portal by himself. And he's looking at the portal gun and the juice is kind of gone. And so it's lowered, I should say. And there's like a tiny little mark where it was, where the juice level was. So Morty starts freaking out. He's like, this motherfucker Mark, he's going to know. Uh-huh. So he's doing like this whole science experiment to try and raise the volume a little bit. And then when Rick knows right away, and like, that's the whole thing. Oh, so Rick finds out and Morty's like, whatever, replace me, you know, put me in a different dimension. I don't even give a fuck anymore. And then Rick like, whatever. He's just making fun of Morty.
That's so funny.
We'll see how that goes.
When you steal a little bit of alcohol from your parents,
exactly.
You're like, oh shit, they have
throw
it
some
marked.
Water in there. Yeah. Not that we're recommending.
Yeah. Wait until you're 21. Anyway. Unless you have anything else to say.
Not really. I just want to reiterate, I think that's probably my second favorite episode of the season. And we got to rate it real quick.
Oh, yeah,
so,
true.
Yeah, my second favorite one of the season, I'm going to give it a solid 9. I think it's, you know, an all-timer, especially when it comes to, you know, plot. So Bird Person's back. He's kicking. He's normal. He's not an enemy. Tammy's gone forever. That's fine. Bird Person's son's back. And then Memory Rick. I think it was just a win all around. And hopefully we're back with episode 9 and 10, killing this, topping this season off, and we can call season 5 great.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. You said earlier that it wasn't the funniest episode, but it was still funny, of course. But, I mean, just the storyline, the reward after waiting seasons to see what happens.
And I think, I do think the Blood Ridge animation might be the best of the season, though.
It was good.
Just because it was Star Wars, it was our bug aliens, it was on a distant planet, and we had Gear Dude, and we had Squanch. It was so good.
Yeah, it pulls on so much lore. Like,
yeah.
I had to give it, like, I think I'm going to give it a 9.02, mm-hmm. Like, just like you said. So good. I am so excited for the finale. Like, historically, the finale is really good, so I can't wait to see if it can top this. But I guess we're going to have to wait a little bit. But that's going to do it for us. If you guys like what you heard, our podcast also covers the brand new Loki series, Shadow and Bone, WandaVision, Season 5 of The Magicians, Amazon's The Boys, The Haunting Hill House, or a lot of really, really good stuff. If you're on the World Wide Web, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, and hit subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on our website, bingetowntv.com. Keep an eye out for our Patreon with a whole lot of bonus content. We talk about anything and everything, but once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you so much for listening. Squanch!
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.